Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos, or on your internet-equipped mobile device, or your computer.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Education is what you must acquire without any interference from your schooling. Thank you, Mr. Twain. On to a young lady who's just come back from Italy, where she's probably not been isolating, but who knows? It's Poppy Booth, our philosopher from Stokesley. How are you, Poppy?
Hello, I'm very well, Well, thank you.
This is good. Now, did you have to isolate after your Italian adventure, or is it just
It was one of the places that I didn't have to, so that was very lucky. Yeah.
Just think, if you've gone to Portugal, different world entirely. Gone to one of the Greek islands again, you know, different setup. So, what was it like going into what, as far as Europe was concerned, was the ground zero of where the whole pandemic launched from? In many ways, i.e., the country at least, Italy.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of odd because obviously, because it was one of the first places to really be struck badly, so they seem to have gotten over it much quicker than, say, we have. So that's quite interesting. It seemed very much like here, in that you didn't have to wear a mask outside, but if you went into a shop, you did. So it's very interesting. I mean, interestingly, now I'm actually, if you hear any strange sounds, I'm in York, and right as I say this, there's a group of people protesting masks walking around as we speak. So that kind of shows the difference between here and
Yeah, try that in Italy. You'd probably actually be subject to armed arrest, I would have thought, but who knows? I don't know. We live in very, very crazy times, as we were saying. So, I mean, were you concerned? Which part of Italy were you basing? Because clearly there's a huge difference between North Italy and South Italy and so on.
Yeah, well, I was actually in the north area. I was in Umbria. So it was, I think that was where it was quite bad, but obviously it's gotten a lot better now. The rate of it is much lower than here, even in Italy at the moment. So it's probably a better place to be than here.
Thanks, of course, to obviously the tremendous success that the current administration has actually had. I think Britain is number one in the list of G7 countries in terms of deaths from COVID-19. So that's something to consider. And clearly, Birmingham's gone back into lockdown, or effectively that's from that. We're limited to gatherings of six or fewer from Monday, or indeed, if you're listening to this on the Wednesday slot, it'll already be in place. I mean, do you get a sense that we are heading towards normality? We've just heard Wonder Woman 1984 has been postponed until Christmas Day. I can't imagine many people actually going out to say December 25th, let's go and see Wonder Woman 1984. I don't think so, but
yeah, I don't know. I think we're maybe going a bit backwards, but I think I kind of assumed it was always going to be like this. You know, it would come in waves and we would be a bit better and be able to do more, and then they'd restrict us a bit. I think it's going to be like this for a while, to be honest, so I'm not really surprised by these new measures.
Again, to quote Mark Twain, who I was just looking at some of the quotes he came up with, such is the human race. Often it seems a pity that Noah didn't miss the boat. Oh no, I never thought Mark Twain or Samuel Clemens would have actually been a misanthrope, but there's definitely misanthropic ends in that sort of
thing. Everyone is deep down, I think.
Well, no. I mean, quick quiz question before we actually find out which philosopher you'd be looking at for us to ponder upon. Angela Rippon, Joanna Lumley and Charlie Dimmock. What do they have in common? And you can have one of two answers for this, Poppy. What do they have in common?
God.
Angela Rippon, of course, famed broadcaster and key newsreader, course now very much responsible for Rip Off Britain and so on. Joanna Lumley, almost reaching the stage of becoming national treasure, and one of the few Bond women and indeed Avengers girls who's still with us after the sad passing of Diana Rigg this week. And Charlie Dimmock, of course, well known for her water features and gardening expertise. What do they have in common?
I'm going to have to do a shot in the dark here. Do they all have COVID?
Oh, that is a shot in the dark. No, the answer is not that I'm aware of. No, the answer is you actually share this with them, just like Poppy Booth. They are all midweek drivettes. They've all appeared on at least two of these programmes over the years and have worked with that. And in addition to that, the other one, which is probably more general, they all have roses named after them, which, of course, you can't say as yet. There is a poppy named after your good self. Or is it the reverse?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. But you haven't as yet had a rose named after your good self. Although I would have thought the Poppy Booth rose could be quite confusing. But still, never mind. But yes, there is indeed an Angela Rippon rose. There's a Joanna Lumley rose and a Charlie Dimmock rose.
Oh, well, a much more positive reason than I said then.
I thought I'd try to offset the whole thing, but, you know, clearly your Nietzsche influences do not, they don't sort of vanish, they don't evaporate, they're still there. You can go into Italy, you can start, you know, cogitating on the whole system that's there and beginning to work things through. You come back, I think it could be a whole new bright, shiny poppy. No. You're in York at present. Has that brought to mind the 40 martyrs? Are we talking about Margaret Clitheroe? Are we talking about sort of views of faith? Are we talking about philosophy? Where are you going to take us in terms of your philosophical conundrum or indeed thought today?
I'm actually taking inspiration from where I was in Italy. So I was staying in the Umbrian hills, and right over the valley you could see Assisi, and we actually went there for a day to walk around, and it was very beautiful. But obviously that's famous because of
Saint Clare. Let's be politically correct. I mean, we know Francis is actually there, Clare. Before we actually talk about that, I mean, I have to say, isn't that ironic that Saint Francis, of course, a man who effectively would have probably been hugely mortified after all the things he said, give to the poor, give to the poor, give to the poor, etc. And the two hugest, most monumental aspects of Assisi are basically the monuments. Exactly. You think?
Yeah.
Anyway. That's by the by.
It wouldn't have been ideal for him. But yeah, I'm going to talk about him. And obviously, Clare is very important too, and started the Poor Clare's branch of nuns. But she was a follower of Francis, so I feel like she'd have some of the same ideas as him. So I'm just going to kind of talk about what he said. And he wasn't he wasn't technically a philosopher, but I think a lot of his ideas were very interesting philosophies on life.
He does actually have a world record to his name as well, Poppy, because actually if you look at library records, there are more writings and more texts and commentaries written about Francis of Assisi, Saint Francis, than any other individual in the history of the human race, including Shakespeare.
Wow. Oh my God, I did not know that. That's very cool. But yeah, so he basically is a quick history of him. He was very poor, born into quite a poor family, and was a day labourer. So he didn't have much money, but he was always very generous. If he passed like a donation plate or something, he would always give what he had. And so a lot of his main message is to do with, as you said, how wealth is bad, greed is bad. And he wanted everyone to be equal and to help the poor to rise up as much as we could. So he did various things through his life that kind of added on to this message, one of which was he walked from Assisi to Rome, which is a very long way. And when he got to Rome and saw the Vatican, he had a massive outburst at the Pope, and the Pope was very shocked because no one had ever spoken to him like that. And he, Francis, was just very annoyed by the greed and the power that this this city had over the world. And so that was a big thing in his life that really showed what he believed in, and that he did not think that having a power like that was necessary. And I think that's really interesting to think about in today's society, which is obviously very capitalist and places a lot of emphasis on wealth and power. So I think looking at life through his lens at the moment is very useful and interesting. His father also was a luxury fabric importer. So that's interesting to think about when you consider that St. Francis did a lot of naked protesting at the beginning of his kind of career, if you could say that. But he didn't see it as shameful or anything. He just thought, there's a lot of people that have to live like this, and so I'm going to live like this too. And then that's how started like a sequence of him giving his clothes to people that were poorer than him, just in the street and that kind of thing. So a lot of that showing of his beliefs through his actions, which I think is really important. But basically his main message was that greed causes a lot of suffering for the victims and also the perpetrators. Mm. And those that have all of the wealth are also not doing that well when you think about it.
Certainly, you mentioned Francis of Assisi, together with Catherine of Siena, the patron saints of Italy. In 1979, Pope John Paul II recognised St. Francis as the patron saint of ecology. And I think that's another aspect that a lot of his views on the environment, and he's often sort of classified as being the patron saint of animals as well, they kind of predated our views on living more simply, living more within our means and so on, as opposed to taking the ego-driven line of acquisitions and realizing that the acquisitions aren't necessarily the finest things that we can actually go for in this kind of spiritual world. So again, in some ways, very much ahead of his time. And again, I think the very fact that our current Pope actually took his name from Saint Francis, I think sort of, so we have Pope Francis, kind of still echoes the sort of resonance that he actually has. Although it's fair to say, as we said, in terms of the basilicas that were actually put up in honor of Saint Francis and Saint Clare, it's that difficult double standard that as human beings and philosophers, I think we all are faced with in terms of the challenges and so on. That, you know, how do we actually put into practice what we've acknowledged is a really good and simple way to live, but at the same time, it's really difficult.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't have to pay to go in, so I guess that's one tick in St. Francis' book.
Yeah. Pay-per-view, I think, would be the ultimate extreme, but still, never mind. interesting. So, I mean, the other element that's often been said is regarded as an Italian Catholic friar, deacon, philosopher, mystic, and preacher. And I think that's the line that, I mean, we've obviously had Julianne of Norwich, who's, I suppose, the English equivalent, as the sounds of bells actually go off in the background. It's very impressive. It's great.
Beautiful backdrop to talking about a saint right next to a church.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very, very impactful, I would have thought. But that sense of mysticism and that sense that maybe, you know, one of the challenges we talked a few weeks ago about the logical positivists and the Freddie Ayers and in addition to that, obviously, even Descartes and his Cartesian philosophy of cogito ergo sum, that maybe one of the challenges with the ego is sometimes you have to let the ego go, and despite the fact that it's there and it gives us identity, sometimes it can also be a little bit of a mischief maker as well, because there is that sense, it's a line I've been using quite frequently, which I was just reminded of recently, that when you start pointing the finger, remember there are three fingers that are pointing back at you, and it's the old line of taking the plank out of your own eye before you take the spelk out of somebody else's, really. And I think Francis would have appreciated that
I think he would as well.
It's that line that even with our politicians, and Lord knows we might have huge criticisms about them, maybe we also need to take a different perspective and just sort of, as many folk would say, and probably Sir Francis, just bless them in many ways and move on, realise that maybe we don't agree, but at least acknowledge them from that point of view. I don't know. Maybe it's the old hippie in me coming out here, Poppy. Or maybe not. So what else are you doing in York, apart from obviously checking out the cathedral, the Minster, and obviously the protesters who are not wearing masks?
Well, I had my cousin visited yesterday, so we had a nice dinner somewhere, and then they left, and so my dad lives in York, so I'm just here for today and a bit of tomorrow, and then I'll head back to Stokesley.
Back to Stokesley, exactly, and so it may well be, subject to restrictions and other factors, of course, that you may well be actually in the studio with us before too long, because I look at the studio log that we have here, which is officially in front of the desk, where it's, will all presenters, co-presenters, visitors, please sign on every visit to the studio, going all the way back, in this case, to 2012, and going all the way back to, let me see, 30th of May, it's all the way through to the present day. It's this character, Alexius, or Alex J.A. Leftchuk, that seems to be signed in on a weekly basis. That's it. So, you know, we just work our way through it. It'll be a shock to the system, obviously, and the atoms and the paper and the pen, if you ever arise, and you can actually be the first person back into the studios in the sort of I suppose it's semi-lockdown, isn't it, that we're in, really? Is that the case?
I'd say that's probably accurate.
Never mind. And any thoughts or rethoughts about Twilight Zone Residence Rewind aspect, because I was chatting to Eloise, who, as I said, was lost in the Twilight Zone. She found it immeasurably boring, which I thought was a bit of a stunner there. I mean, that would have completely crippled the set of almost a perfect set of 4/10s. I gave it a 9.5, but clearly Eloise was not impressed. I mean, now you've had a chance to rethink and reevaluate. Was it a case of it still stands out there in a way of, well, maybe life is just a dream?
I still really enjoyed it. I think it kind of spoke to me at this time as well, because my university time was cut a bit short prematurely. Mm. So I think I am in that nostalgic headspace. And it also just reminded me a bit of It's a Wonderful Life, but cut into 25 minutes. And I really liked that too. So.
And you know, that is going to be our Christmas special for Resonance Rewind.
I love that film. Yeah, I'm very excited.
We've got a double whammy if you want to look ahead to this. I'm just about to publish the next range. We've got It's a Wonderful Life, and we'll probably also have The Time Machine. Robin wanted The Time Machine. I said, let's have It's a Wonderful Life as well. So that will be very coming good. Up for a reappraisal, at least. And let's face it, any media or cultural artifact worth its salt doesn't actually reach true levels of satisfaction until it's been considered by yourself, Poppy, Robin, Jenny, Eloise, and Jessica in the Resonance Rewind area, really.
Yeah, I mean,
it's that kind of sort of level that it needs to be reached, a bit like being invited.
Vital, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Invited to join the ultimate elite, the Illuminati or others. Poppy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, yes. Thank you.
And we're talking Resonance Rewind. Would you like to just have a brief little snippet of the theme to The Invaders, which is, of course, what we'll be considering on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah, go on.
I think that'll do for now. David Vincent, available and doing all sorts of other bits of business. I say, had you made it into the studio today, I could have physically handed you a DVD of The Invaders that we have in the studio. But you're not. So you just have to watch it online, or hopefully you access the details from YouTube and various other bits and pieces, and we'll progress from thence. I think we've already talked about that. Incidentally, if people are confused, because there'll be Siren Radio listeners who are tuned in regularly every Wednesday on the Midweek Drive, and they'll be saying, but it is Wednesday. You know, what's he saying? There's another Wednesday? No, we Residence Rewind, which goes out on Siren on a Thursday, usually, sometimes on a Wednesday. That's separate from the Midweek Drive. This is the Midweek Drive, unless, of course, you're listening to it on a Saturday, in which case it's kind of like the end of the week drive, really, I suppose, or the sort of Welcome Back from Italy drive, or one of those kind of things. And as I also mentioned, it's interesting. One of the things I can admit to now is Wednesday is quite fun, because as well as Robin accidentally unplugging himself and therefore sort of neutering himself completely, and of course running the Siren Radio Midweek Drive that was going out as a pre-record as well, I was also live on BBC Humberside talking about public information films from the 1970s. So I think I managed that bit of multitasking quite well actually on Wednesday, you know, all things considered.
Pretty good job, I'd say.
Well, you can use iPlayer to go to BBC Humberside if you want to listen to that again. I just wouldn't bother. It's a different line entirely, but life continues. Actually, I'm just wondering, before we've got a little sort of special thing, maybe you might like, because clearly you were not around in the 1970s, but how are you familiar with the public information films of the 1970s? Have you heard of them or seen them or watched them on YouTube and so on?
No, not even a little
bit. Well, here's one which I think will actually help you in York. So it's Charlie Says, a whole series combining the work of an animated individual and his best friend, a cat called Charlie. And this is just one example of how youngsters like myself at the time were very much kept on the straight and narrow by public information films like this.
Charlie and I were out the back when Vera and Dave came by and said, "Come along for a picnic." And I was going, but Charlie said, he says, "I better tell Mum where I'm going." So we told him to wait while we went and asked. But Mum was talking to the milkman. And she talked such a long time that when I had asked her and she'd said yes, the others had gone. Mum asked us why we hadn't gone, and when I told her, she said we'd been good for not going, and would we like a day out with her instead? Charlie says, "Always tell your mummy before you go off somewhere, so she knows who you are with."
See, that's what we need for Covey, don't we? We need to find out what Charlie actually says.
Yeah, he's very wise.
That's it. Charlie says, "Bye bye for now, Poppy. See you in the week."
Bye.
Baby, Indiana wants me, Lord, I can't.
Hardeen Taylor, probably best known for his Ghost in My House number, but that was Indiana Wants Me. Nothing to do with Harrison Ford or indeed the Raiders of the Lost Ark series of movies, but indeed a man on the run in Indiana. There we are. Indiana Wants Me. It could be Indiana Wants Tessa. Whether Indiana ever actually appears in one of Tessa's Country in the Kitchen podcast, I don't know. But, you know, whether she's on Siren Radio, whether she's on her own podcast platform, Southside Broadcasting, etc., it's always nice to say Tessa Snart, daughter of the Leeds United supporting Dave. Welcome back.
Hello. It's great to be back again. Another week, another track.
I presume your dad's coping with the notion of being away to Liverpool for the opening game of the season, really, which will have obviously the result to be out by the time people are listening to this on the midweek drive.
Well, you know, you win some, you lose some, but he does always get in a pretty bad mood when Leeds loses. It's not, you don't want to be around David when Leeds have lost.
I see.
As Mum will know best.
Does it become a bit like the Wild West? See what I did there?
See what you did. It does a little bit. It really does.
Yeah, you see, outlaws to the Wild West. Not Wild West hero, of course, but somebody sure enough from not even the Aristocats, but there is an O'Malley the Alleycat in the Aristocats. Oh, I'm just all over the links here. Really? Meow. Charlie says.
I know. I've started to bring a little bit of rebellion, haven't I, to the show with all of these new artists coming through. But yes, my track of the week this week is by an artist based in Manchester called Katie O'Malley, and I've just discovered her actually, and her music is really, really great. It's got quite a timeless feel. So with this latest I can't speak now, Alex, what are you doing to me? With this latest single she has released, it's out now, it's an exciting mix of Americana, country, folk and soul and blues, but it's got a real nostalgic 70s vibe to it too, so it kind of gives it that timeless feel. I don't know whether it will be up Robin Street. It's quite different to the last single. I'm saying signal.
Tessa, I've told you, when you're doing Country in the Kitchen, the white wine and the red wine are supposed to be consumed after the show in celebratory mode, not whilst you're in the midst of the whole piece itself. Goodness.
I'm terrible now with this Country in the Kitchen business. I'm always in the kitchen.
Yeah. And you
with
need
the
little
wine doesn't know.
Precisely. Anyway.
The most I get is a cup of tea. But anyway, this track is called Wild West by Katie O'Malley. So see what you think of this one.
Give the boy a call, go ahead and watch him run round town, feeling like a big man. Emotions just a state of mind. He come like that all the time. Yeah, it ain't real. It's just something that feels for now. Choice of two, or does it choose you to live or be alive? It ain't enough to just survive. He wants more than this, more than a housewife and kids. Got a grip on him now, all the money and power.
And still to come on the Madrid Drive today, we'll be finding out the difference between watercress and mustard cress, and of course some very important tips if you ever smell gas. Do you know, Tessa, that there are people who actually, when they were asked, what do you do if you smell gas, they said they would immediately shut all the doors and windows.
No!
Oh.
No, no, no! Also,
quite the opposite, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I won't say what I say. You can listen to the discussion I had with the gas help board. It's just there. Equally, you wouldn't strike a match, nor indeed call the helpline using your mobile phone. No, no, no. Unless you want boom, 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 which is not good. Anyway, that's by the by. I was thinking about safety in country in the kitchen, because it's always important.
Well, you've got to think about this. You've got to think about the safety.
Mm.
You really have. Especially as it's not always just me hosting the show. I usually have my cat by my feet.
Charlie says.
Great. He sits here now.
Yeah. And he's not named Charlie, I presume.
No, he's a Grayson.
Grayson, of course.
Called Grayson.
Named after Dick Grayson, the alter ego of Robin in the original Batman series. Clearly.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Or Grayson Perry.
Or Amanda Grayson, of course, who was the mother of Spock in Star Trek.
There we go. It's a lot, see? You've got a good name, Gray. You're named after all these incredible people.
Exactly.
What did you think of Wild West, Alex? I feel like it's got a Stevie Nicks mixed with Joss Stone vibe.
Yeah, I think it's a grower. I think it takes time. I think the initial line, you think, yes, it's okay. If I'm predicting Robin's mark, I'd say maybe 6.5 to 7. I think.
Do you think?
I don't know.
We'll see, because he never fails to surprise us, does he, with his marking system?
Yeah.
But next week, I've got our good friends, The Rising. I've got a new single by them that I'm going
to
play.
We might go back to a live Zoom, and then you can actually give it immediately as opposed to doing a postscript on the whole thing. Who knows?
Oh, that would be brilliant. That would be good.
However, we have not forgotten the Tessa challenge that we usually have when I'm in the studio, which is very important. Two choices of music. It depends upon your good self in terms of which way you send the listener, and indeed the whole of the cosmos, really. We can offer you Mitchell Kersley, who's a fabulous new up-and-coming star that we interviewed with a few weeks ago. We did a fine interview with Mitchell Kersley. And If You Need Someone to Love, that's his track, which he's put out into the system. That's Mitchell Kersley. Or the alternative is you go down the line of the Shires and Nashville Grey Skies. Are you going to go the Shires, or are you going to go down Mitchell Kersley?
Alex, you always make it so difficult because I'm always interested in hearing and learning about new artists.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, I like to keep the country theme going too. So where do I go?
And if I said Mitchell is also alt-country, I mean, you know, so you could
say... Can I call a friend? I think I'm going to go with Mitchell because I'm all about supporting, you know, upcoming new artists, especially... you know, within those sorts of genres. So let's go with Mitchell Kearsley. Let's go with If You Need Somebody.
If you're tired of that same old pretend smile of the kind that makes you feel like you're not good enough. If you're not familiar with the notion of being swept off your feet, and you're missing the spark with each guy you meet. You may not understand the words I say, but believe me though, I'll put it all on the line. I just want you to know. If you need someone to love you, I'll be right there if you want me to. If you need someone to love you, I'll be right there if you want me to. If you're tired of being lonely, then call me. Call me if you're tired of being lonely. Call me someone to love you. When they don't understand the shattered fragments of your heart and how to piece them together, stop you falling apart. When you can't find someone who'll let go of your past. See, I don't care if I'm not the first, as long as I'm your last. You may not understand the words I say, but believe me though, I'll put it all on the line. I just want you to know. If you need someone to love you, I'll be right there if you want me to. If you need someone to love you, I'll be right there if you want me to. If you're tired of being lonely, call me, call me. If you're tired of being lonely, call me. Call me if you're tired of being lonely. Call me, call me. If you're tired of being lonely, call me. Someone to love you. I'll be right there if you want me to.
If you want me to.
If you need someone to love. There if you want me to. If you're tired of being lonely, call me, you can call me. If you're tired of being lonely, call me. Someone to love you. Someone to love you.
As he revealed recently, Portsmouth supporting Mitchell Kearsley, and also on his Facebook page, liked by Tessa Leanne Snart.
I
just thought I'd check that through. I went to check out. I see Tessa Leanne and over 1,000 more others have liked Mitchell Kearsley. So, you know, you denied all knowledge initially and then said, oh.
It's difficult because I come across so many artists and I do try and like them all, especially if I'm invited to like a page. But until I've done an interview with them or had them, I don't go in depth. I don't know them that well.
Well,
so
You could have said, until I actually had listened to him being interviewed on a Midweek Drive special, you know.
I will do. I really, really like that song, and I get serious Thomas Rhett, Kane Brown, kind of the upcoming pop country artist, but he's got kind of a deep voice at times as well, like Josh Turner. So that was really, really lovely. Really like that.
Well, there we are. And once again, the Shire's blown out by Tessa Snart. That's the fourth consecutive rejection. I think, guys, you might as well just realise. But there have been several times where you've actually booted them out in the past, actually, if we were to go back through past records.
I love the Shires. Maybe next week.
They might just go back to Nashville Grey Skies then and just say, well, if only we actually go to MitchellKersley.com, we'd find out, you know, what is the magic to get ourselves sorted on this. I think in the week, you're hopefully going to be joining us again for a couple of musical specials we're doing as well, which is excellent. But for now, Tessa Snart, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I certainly have.
Excellent. A little shameless plug that Mitchell's latest single, Dusk, the EP, is actually available. And the one you just heard, If You Need Someone to Love You, was released on August the 14th. So that's the life of that. And you can do the usual thing on Instagram, Twitter, and indeed Facebook and SoundCloud if you want to find out more about Mitchell Kersley, who should be joining us. And I'm sure you probably would not be averse to featuring him on Country in the Kitchen if you could fit them in. Because I know you probably say, Mitchell, you're going to have to get in line behind the Shires, and they're currently at number 426 my list of people that I will be interviewing, so you know it's all there.
You know what, Alex, it's so hard. I'm actually booked up now every week. I'm booked up till early October.
Exactly.
And it's so hard to give a chance,
that's it.
But I am trying.
Look, you know, if we can help out, Tessa, you know you can always forward a few people on to do a Midweek Drive, you know, so that's always there. We feel as though we can actually take away some of that pressure
and
we'll be finding out a little bit. I mean, Katie Grimace is just keen now she's back in lockdown Birmingham again to actually feed her musical stuff into the whole system, and I'm sure Robin wouldn't actually be averse to joining us on the panel of Lines for That.
Oh, wow.
As they were going to be finding out the difference between mustard cress and watercress. I know some people get them confused.
Oh.
Yes, but it's still there. Watercress, very healthy for you because of the vitamin K. Tessa, you will be back with us again very soon?
I certainly will. I mean, I learned so much on the Midweek Drive.
That's what we like to say we are all about, really. A little bit of education in the world today, courtesy of the University of Lincoln and more.
And I have loved you so long, delighting in your company. Green sleeves was all my joy, green sleeves was my delight, green sleeves was my heart of gold, and who but my Lady Green Sleeves? If you intend to be this way, it does the more enrapture me. And even so, I still remain a lover in captivity. Green Sleeves was all
Now, when it comes to watercress, clearly there are lots of divided opinions in terms of what is it, what is it all about, should we be eating it, etc. In fact, over 80% don't know that watercress is a great source of calcium and indeed rich in vitamin C. So hopefully to reappraise this whole challenge when we're faced with watercress, we have got two fabulous folk. First of all, chef and food writer extraordinaire, the wonderful Gizzy Erskine. How are you, Gizzy?
I am magic this morning.
Thank Wonderful. It's what I like to hear. Excellent stuff. Obviously, we're on our watercress, which is great. And we've also got the managing director of the Watercress Company. That's Tom Amory. How are you, Tom?
I'm very well, thanks. Good morning. Hi.
Fantastic. So, Gizzy, what is it about watercress that, I mean, people possibly have thoughts of, yes, watercress, it's what we used to do in primary school. We grow some cress and then that would be it, basically. Why are we missing out on this whole thing? Or indeed, how do we address the notion that people say, but it's just grass, isn't it?
Well, people have, first of all, got completely the wrong end of the stick, because what you're talking about is, in fact, mustard cress. And that is the stuff you used to grow at primary school and draw faces on because it grew out of a pot like hair. What we're dealing with is a sort of pimped up, sort of on steroids version of a salad leaf that's it's sort of similar. It's got its own flavour. It's very peppery. I guess the closest...
We're just losing you there, Gizzy, but hopefully, as I say, we can actually pick up with Tom, because I mean, this sounds as though watercress is clearly, you know, something which, as we said, the pimped up version of mustard cress. I mean, great stuff.
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the thing about mustard cress that's grown in those punnets, and it's grown to a very small stage. It's just those tiny two leaves. That can be a range of different products to make cress, mm-hmm. but watercress is totally different. It's a plant that's grown outdoors. It's grown in these watercress beds, which are like literally green sort of solar panels, because they're just collecting all the sunlight and they're using the water that flows underneath the crop that comes from these amazing aquifers that contain all the vitamins and minerals that the crop needs to grow. So it's a totally different product, because it's an outdoor crop. It's highly sustainable. And what we do is we harvest these sprigs, which could be maybe 10 centimeters long, got big, large, luscious leaves. And in terms of nutrition, the crop's been allowed to grow to a stage where it's loaded. It's absolutely packed full of 50 vitamins and minerals, which you don't get in the cress. It's a totally different product altogether. And with that sort of vitamin and mineral sort of base, you get this totally different flavor. It's quite an intense peppery flavor that when you chew it, it sort of intensifies. But also, as Gizzy was saying, it's just, you know, it can be used in dishes in many different ways. And you can use it from being a herb or a salad, or you can use it as a vegetable where you'd add it to dishes or wilt it down with some olive oil, salt and pepper and lemon juice. And it's a very versatile product.
Now, clearly, in the midst of our pandemic that the whole world is faced with, we are much more concerned, or most of us are getting more concerned about our nutrition and so on, and, of course, improving the immune system. And it seems that actually watercress is a possible solution to that as well in terms of improved immunity.
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah. So in that 50 vitamins and minerals, there are some real champions within there. The two that really relate to what you're saying about the immune system are vitamin C and vitamin A. And both of those work together to strengthen our immune system. And what we really need to do is we've got to eat a range of fruit and vegetables. But that's all about sort of the preloading, building up some strength within our bodies, a little bit of resilience. So that works well. But vitamin C is also really important with the uptake of iron. And watercress contains plenty of iron, and the vitamin C helps you absorb that iron. So that's really important. And then finally, there's others, but vitamin K is great for your blood and your bones. It's often been regarded, going back a long time, as a cleanser of the blood. And that's what the vitamin K does. It's absolutely, you know, sort of fantastic in terms of that array. And that's why it often gets regarded as one of the most nutrient-dense vegetables available. And that's in the UK and worldwide. It's used all over the world for this reason.
Now, clearly, your own watercress farms are based in Dorset and Hampshire. I mean, that's one of the great things, presumably, Tom, about watercress in general. It can be locally sourced.
Yeah, it can. It's a British product. And we start our harvesting, sort of traditionally in that sort of period of April. But we've got the crop actually in the ground right the way through the year. And we will harvest it up to 6 times a year. So it is one of the most sustainable crops you can get, because we're growing it in these locations. We get 6 crops. We can get it to market within about 24 hours. And it's available in all of the major sort of retailers in the salad section. It's just, many people just don't know where to find it. And it gets mixed up, you know, in terms of the sea of salads that you find in stores where, you know, you've got spinach and wild rocket. But watercress, being the sort of the unsung hero, is in there. You just got to go and find it. And it's normally in sort of bags, about 85 grams, or sometimes you can find it in bunches as well.
Sorry, I think you guys lost me for a bit, but I just to say I'm back and
hey Gizzy.
And I want to sort of back up the sort of unsung hero of what Tom's saying. You know, for me, it's one of the most exciting herbs greens you can get hold of, because it isn't just a herb. You know, it isn't just a salad green. It isn't just a vegetable. It's so durable, and you can use it in several ways.
Gizzy, that's what we've always appreciated about your good self. Only you could actually describe watercress as exciting, but I can see it is. I sense the passion that's coming across on that basis. When did you first come across watercress, Gizzy, from that point of view, in terms of either your work as a chef or indeed as a food writer?
I'm sort of spoiled in the sense that my mum actually loves watercress. So I was brought up having a sort of Sunday night soup, which was really just using one potato. I remember the recipe off by heart, loads of fresh chicken stock or stock from the bones from the Sunday roast, and then a ton of watercress. And it was bright green. She used to put nutmeg in it, and I absolutely loved it with a lick of cream at the end, and it was so delicious. So I've always really, it's never not been in my life. But when you train as a chef, you're encouraged, you were back in the day with real sort of French brasserie food, you would always learn how to sort of bunch a bit of watercress into a florette and dress it with a little bit of olive oil. I was using sort of either sherry vinegar or lemon juice and some salt and pepper, and pop it on the side of things. Now, most people, I think that's sort of done a disservice, actually, because a lot of people just see a garnish and see it as just that. It's there to garnish. But a good chef knows you garnish with foods which actually increase its flavor. Now, we've already heard from Tom that watercress is peppery. It's full, it's a really potent peppery flavor. Now, beef and pepper, perfect companions. So it's there for a reason. But I do also get that it's also, you know, people see a garnish as a garnish. They don't always want to eat your garnish. But, you know, so I've always been around it. I remember being in restaurants and munching my way through it, as you know, as I was bouqueting them. Probably shouldn't tell many of my old bosses that, because it's covered in the dressing. But now I use it, you know, me and Tom were chatting over the weekend. I made a fish pie and I had watercress in the house, didn't have any parsley, used that in its place, and you suddenly got a new dimension to something that we know and love so well in sort of classic British cookery. But then at the same time, I would use it. I've got bunches of it, and you can wilt it down. I mean, I grew up in Asia, and using it as a like your water greens that you get in Thailand, which is a form of watercress as well. You can sow some very finely thinly sliced garlic, some chili, frying it off in some oil, wilting that down, and then finishing that with some oyster sauce. Delicious.
Gizzy, you've already sort of whetted our appetites and proving the power of watercress. Not only did it successfully get you back online after the line dropped out, it also has managed to successfully reboot all our computers here. So that's all worked well from that point of view. I mean, Tom, I've got to say, I mean, clearly we need to go to watercress.co.uk now to find out more information about this whole system. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you go there, you can, all these recipes that Gizzy's talking about are available on there. Obviously, there's endless information about that nutrition that I was talking about, and also you can get to see how the crop grows. So there's a great little video up on the website that you can then go behind the scenes and understand what's going on the farms. And really, you know, the only thing I can say is just, yeah, head down to the store, try some, pick some watercress up, get experimenting, but don't be afraid. You know, like I say, the trick is to experiment, clearly, but incorporating it into your day is the most important thing, finding ways that suit you and the rest of the family. So it's have a little bit of fun with it and see how it goes.
And perhaps even more significantly, we've finally managed to sort out the difference between mustard cress and watercress. Genius. Fantastic. Gizzy and Tom, many, many thanks indeed. Take care. Keep on keeping on. And I'm sure we'll speak again soon. Happy watercress munching.
Thank you very much.
And you.